Thank you, Mr. Davenport, and happy Sabbath, everybody. Welcome indeed to all of our visitors. We're such a small group, we have more visitors this time than normal, so that's good to see. Welcome to all here. Enjoyed the announcement about the ski trip. I've skied a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. Well worth the price. But I'm afraid at my age, the price of skiing would be an extended stay in the hospital. So I'm going to pass on that one. Appreciated Mr. Keith's message. He gave it 2 weeks ago down in Birmingham, Gaston. Enjoyed it then and even more so today. The message I'm going to give today I gave at that time also, but I've improved it a little bit. Hopefully I've improved it a little bit to make it even better and more positive than it was before. What I'm going to discuss today might sound a little bit complex, but it's just common sense, really. And the title of it sums it up a little bit, and that title is Truth Never Changes, But Reality Does. Think about that for a second. Now, reality is the way that things are. That's the life, the circumstances, the situation that we live and exist in right now. The sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west. That's reality. We live, we die. That's reality. To demonstrate the difference between truth and reality, consider a man standing on a 20-story building. And he jumps off. Now, the truth is that he once was alive. The truth is that he jumped. And the truth is now that he's dead. You don't survive that. Okay, a 50-story building, whatever you want. Now, considering reality, today's reality dictates that that man is dead and he's going to stay dead. That's reality. But that reality is going to change when the resurrection comes. That reality is no longer accurate anymore. He's not going to be dead. So reality in that sense changed. Truth? Unchangeable. Can't change it. What's true today is going to be true tomorrow and forever. You can lie about the truth, but that doesn't really change the actual truth. The actual truth is unchangeable, no matter what you say about it. John 17:17 states that God's word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. The truth, your word is truth. God's word does not change. It's the truth, the unchangeable truth. God himself is truth. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is the truth. We can put some hope in that, like Paul says in Timothy's letter, Timothy 1:2. I'll just read it. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's the truth. A promise from God, who cannot lie. Now, with that backdrop, let's review some big changes about reality. Starting way back when, the creation of the universe. Was that a reality change? It wasn't there before, and now it is. So that had to be a pretty big reality change. He reshaped the earth. He made day and night, altered the atmosphere, separated the water from the land, created vegetation, birds, fish, all the animals, they were not there before either. That was a reality change. Reality changed again when he made Adam. Because Adam was different than anything that he had created before. Even the angels. That was a reality change. All physical life before Adam knew a different reality because it was temporal. It did not have the human spirit that thinks as we do today, with all the different culture, the music, the mind that they are without. It was a different form of creation. All of that physical stuff before Adam was just physical, doomed to die and stay dead forever. But with the addition of the human spirit, that life now had the potential to live forever. Because God was able to work with that mind, form it into something that He wanted to build. Until that happened, no living thing would ever live forever. Now, after Adam, the first big change in reality was actually the first sin. That changed their reality big time. They had eternal life at hand. But after they sinned, that sin, the truth of that sin, had consequences. Their reality changed because they could not, at that time anyway, enjoy eternal life. That sin dictated their reality that now they're going to have to die. And all their posterity after them would suffer the same reality. When reality changes, it changes from that point on until it is changed again. Their reality changes because then they died. But here's the point about that. It is people's choices that determine their reality. If they had not sinned, their reality would have been different. This whole world would have been different. But they did. I'm not going to get into the philosophy of whether it's predetermined or not. But the truth is, things change. The truth of who we are, what we do, what we say, how we act, is going to change our reality because that is who we are. What we do today is going to be true tomorrow. What we say today is going to be true what we said yesterday. Like the saying goes, you cannot unring a bell. What the truth is going to stay the truth, and that's what God looks at. There's a... After Adam and that sin that changed that reality, human nature was kind of set, and they went on and on and on in that self-centered lifestyle, violence all over the place. And that mode of life caused another major change of reality, and that was when Noah's flood came. Because of choices, man's choices of how they lived, caused God to change the reality from that flood on. That had big consequences. All human beings died. Their reality changed. Only 8 people of Noah's family remained alive. Once again, man's choices made an impact on their reality. That flood cycle also changed the human life cycle and how long people actually live. Before the flood, it was common to have 800, 900 years of age. A long time. After the flood, it comes back reduced to less than 100 years. Perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps God just determined at that time to shorten the lifespan because you don't need to that long of a time to build character. We can build godly character in 50, 60, 70 year lifespan. And some of us are 50, 60, 70 before we come to church. So it doesn't take a long, 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 long time to do what God tells us to do. It can be done in less than 800 years or so. Reality was changed again during the Tower of Babel. Let's turn back to Genesis 11. Pick up a couple points there. Genesis 11. I'm going to start at verse 4. This is where the people after the flood decided, hey, we don't want this flood business anymore, so we're going to build a tower to escape any high water. Genesis 11, verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad. They didn't want to move around. They wanted to stay in one place over the face of the whole earth. Then verse 7. Christ saw this. God saw it and said, come, let us go down. And there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad. Exactly what they did not want. From over the face of the earth. And they ceased building the city. They were not a unified, cohesive group anymore doing a project. When the languages came, they couldn't communicate. They probably got a lot of anger and frustration not being able to communicate. And they just split, went their own way, and that's how God scattered them all over the world. That was his plan to start with. After that, there's a whole series of events, and God started working with the patriarchs, Abraham, starting up his nations of Israel, settling them in a promised land. Many, many reality changes going on there, but there are just too many to mention here. But let's go on with another big reality change. And that's when Christ was born, lived his life, and died. That reality change accomplished the means by which there is a procedure and atonement to do away with the sins of all peoples that made eternal life possible. Sinners don't go into the kingdom of God unless they've repented and their sins are forgiven. That's what Christ's life and sacrifice meant to the whole world. Reality changed again when God's church came on the scene as a means to carry that message of salvation to all humanity. That message gives us access, the knowledge that we need to attain the eternal life that God wants us to have. God's initial calling is consummated through the church by educating us, teaching us, baptizing us, marrying us, and burying us, frankly. All done through the church. Now, all of those events set the stage for the reality that we really have right now. And I'd like to focus on that a little bit more closely now. From what we've seen and just covered, we can see that our reality, what life is right now, is in God's control. He changes reality to the whatever he wants it to be from that point forward. Our conversion, really a big reality change for us, because we receive the Holy Spirit. We are different people. Our reality, our very beings, our minds changed because of that fact. That miracle changes us from merely a physical life, something before Adam perhaps, to now something with the potential for eternal life. And it's important to understand that our thoughts, our words, our actions are molding us into becoming a character. Now, that character could be either good or bad. And we've heard in the sermonette the difference between the two. One, they are just exact opposites. There's a saying that kind of sums up what I'm saying here. I'll read it. Thoughts lead to actions. Actions lead to habits. Habits become our character. Character determines our destiny. You know, change starts in the mind. Well, we just heard in the messages before, we have to meditate on these things. Meditation is a wonderful tool to assess one's status, where they're at in life, where they need to go, what they need to change. And then once knowing that, then we can set down some decisive plans how to make the corrections and go forward from there. We can replace a bad habit. We can replace a sin with a good one, a good thing. In the essence, we are changing our reality because we are becoming something different, something better, more Christ-like. What we do today will affect our realities for tomorrow. I'm going to clarify that a little bit with a couple of biblical examples. Consider Abraham. Remember when he went on his journey to fill out God's commission to sacrifice his own son? He was walking with his son and his servants for 3 days, 3 nights probably, towards the mount where he would sacrifice his own son. And he made some decisions, I'm sure, on the way. Do I really want to go through with this? What am I doing? Killing my own son? Is there another way? He made some choices. He probably had some gut-wrenching moments concerning that. But he didn't waver. He went through with it. That changed his reality big time. He was, in his mind, obeying God in spite of his own will. Big changes, because that established his authoritative rule as father of the faithful, the beginner of the nation of Israel. Big time. Consider Saul. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. Consider Saul, who did not follow God's commands when he was told to wait for Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now," notice that, "for now," at that time, "the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel." That would have been Saul's reality. He would have been established over England, over Israel. Forever, he says. His actions changed his reality big time. A second mistake cost him again when he was told to go and smite Amalekite, sparing nothing. Turn ahead to chapter 15. He spared not only the livestock, but even livestock, but King Amalek himself. 1 Samuel 15, verses 23, starting there. "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Notice, "because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." He not only lost his long-standing legacy Now he's going to lose his kingship as well. His choice changed his reality big time. God sets up and God takes down, depending upon the truth of our obedience to Him. Do we or do we not obey? Do we get the toxins out or not? Our future is in His hands, and He dictates it upon obedience to Him. As we grow in grace and knowledge, Christian character, there is going to be pivotal points along the way which direct us or redirect us to fulfill what God wants us to do in this life, preparing us for the kingdom and a job that He has for us. God's initial vision for our responsibility in the future kingdom can and will be altered dependent upon our obedience to Him and following through with our commitment to God. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was taught a lesson concerning this. Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 1. Jeremiah 18:1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. You know, a potter will take a lump of clay and put it on this spinning plate as a means to shape and mold what he wants to make out of it. Verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now, if the clay is marred, there's something wrong with the clay. It's not the potter. God is our potter. If the clay is marred, something wrong. There's a pure impurity in there, a toxin, an air bubble, a lack of water, picturing the Holy Spirit in our case. Something's wrong with the clay. It's not God, the potter, the problem. If it warped or cracked, here's what God does. Continuing that verse. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Now God is able to refashion us into something that we have not been before. If we fail, if we crack a little bit, God reshapes it. That's not a death sentence. It's a change in direction, a change of reality perhaps. But God is still working with that person, fashioning it into something that's still going to be beautiful and very useful fit for a certain job and obligation in the kingdom to come. Jeremiah 18, verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And he is talking to every one of us here today the same way. We are clay in His hands. If we fail in something, God is able to reshape it, remold it. Dr. Ward spoke, I think it was at a feast, I heard the message, in a recent message anyway. He said he had witnessed many missed opportunities in a lot of his students. They could have done a lot better. They should have done a lot better. They shouldn't have gone that way, but they did. They failed in leadership capacity and spiritual growth. And those failed opportunities, they're painful. But that pain helps us to do better the next time. It's not a death sentence. God wants us to just change, reshaping us, remolding us into something a little bit different perhaps, still beautiful, still useful. Still very much desired and wanted. God knows human nature inside and out, and He's going to continue working with us. unless there's no more breath left. At that point, the decision is made. But our obedience and diligent effort is going to affect what that final outcome is going to be. We need to apply ourselves, as we heard earlier. The pain of a setback helps us to fight harder the next time. Like I said, it's not a death sentence. God will just reshape the same bowl, the same amount of clay, make it a little bit different shape, perhaps shorter, wider, whatever, taller. And God works with us on a daily basis, pointing out things daily that we need to change, that we need to work on. And how we respond is going to develop our character and our destiny. Trials can fit into that category of being something painful. But trials have a purpose. They are there to enhance our godly character by change, by force, by pain if need be. You can look at a trial as a pivot, an opportunity for a better reality, depending on how we handle it, what we do with it. Faith is extremely important in this. Let's look at that in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Some good points in here. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that a reward, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is. He's there. He's real. God has the mind, the power, and the ability to reward, to reshape, to remold, to build you into something that He wants and that the kingdom needs. Getting back to truth and reality. Let's turn back to Matthew 24. The temporal versus the spiritual. Matthew 24, 35. Talking about some big reality changes here. Heaven and earth will pass away, Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth are physical things, subject to change. But my words will by no means pass away. Again, one's physical, one's spiritual, unchangeable. The truth cannot be changed. So what's going to happen to all those heavens? Let's go back to Isaiah 34. He's kind of impressing something on you here. Isaiah 34. And I'm going to start and look at verse 4. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, as a fruit falling from a fig tree. Big reality changes. Going back to the creation of that universe, God is changing all of that. The whole universe is going to change again. Big thing. Let's look at Revelation 6. Continuing on that thought, Revelation 6, verse 12. Revelation 6, 12. I looked when He opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its like figs when shaken by a mighty wind. This could be talking about asteroids or meteorites flashes crashing into the earth. Why are these things happening? God is doing something with all of mankind here. Every person existing and living at the time is going to have their reality changed
big time,
because of their choices. Verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. A restructuring of the whole earth is taking place here. And these are prophecies which are truth because they are part of the Word of God. This universe exists because God is using it so that you and I have a life in a reality that demands that we work at becoming a righteous, God-fearing person. That's the purpose behind the whole universe. And is this goal to become like Christ, that stupendous in scope of God, expanding Himself, of creating a family that we can be inducted to because we've made the right choices in this life. And that should motivate us to stir us to do the things that we need to fulfill that goal of putting the toxins out. God dictates our present reality to assure. Now get this. God is in control of reality. And He has selected the right reality for each one of us that we are able to attain the highest potential possible. If we crack along the way, He's going to remold it. He's still going to finish what He has started. God's Word is true and it cannot change. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 13. Here is our reality today. No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God sets the reality. He sets the bar to a point that we can accomplish, that we can endure. He does not give us anything that we are unable to handle, but many trials, if not most, are so structured that we need God's help to make it through, to overcome the sin, to make the changes that we do. If we're relying solely on ourselves, it's just not going to work. God designed that reality for us that we need His help. He is able to bring us to fruition. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. This should all just be very encouraging for us, brethren, because God is working for us. Philippians 3, verse 21. He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. God is able. He is willing. He yearns and is eager to help us, however, whatever way that He's able to do to help us make it. And that's a promise. But we have to do our part. It's a cooperation. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at verse 25. This is a promise. This is God's Word. This is the truth. It's a promise. You can hang your head on it. This is what's going to be. This is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. It's not a maybe. It's not a well, I wonder. Can it be so? Really? Me? Who? Me? Really? Yes, you. All of us. But we must walk in faith as Abraham did. Romans 4:20. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. In Romans 4, verse 21, And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. God has set the reality, God is setting the reality, and God will readjust the reality of what's coming, of what we can handle and what we will be. We can walk in that same reality that Abraham did, being promised eternal life. We're going to have the same promises work for us just as much as him. We can enjoy the reality of eternal life or not, depending upon our choices. God sees our character, and he's working to improve it, to become more and more like him. And with our cooperation, it will happen. Depending upon this phrase, thoughts lead to actions, actions lead to habits, habits become our character, character determines our destiny. And our destiny is the reality that we are working for. Our choices today are going to affect that reality. Our destiny is our future reality. So, brethren, choose wisely. That's what it takes.